News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Will there be a full-blown war between India and China anytime soon? The assessment at the highest levels of India's security establishment is clear. The threshold of war hasn't been reached yet. It is difficult to predict the trajectory of the face-off, but we haven't reached the threshold of war. Things do build up to a full-blown conflict, but so far there have been only pinpricks. The Chinese deployment right now is non-tactical, a top government source said. So how will things play out in the next few weeks and months? The reading within the government is that there will be minor escalations like the one on August 29-30, when the Chinese army tried to occupy Indian Heights at the south bank of Pangong Lake. There is also complete clarity that the face-off and what direction it takes is not being controlled by local commanders or by the Western Theatre Command, but by the top leadership in China. You just cannot trust the Chinese. On the morning of the 29th, the Chinese commander in Chushul had spoken to his Indian counterpart about following established protocol and not doing any movement at night. And yet, the same night he moved his men towards our posts. In eastern Ladakh, both the north and south banks, Rizangla and Rechinla, remain on knife's edge. India is now in a dominating position at finger 4 in the north bank. A significant number of Indian troops are sitting at heights, overlooking Chinese posts, rattling the People's Liberation Army. At the ridge, Indian and Chinese troops are eyeball to eyeball, barely a few hundred meters apart. At the shoreline, they are a couple of kilometers apart. At South Bank, India is dominating strategic heights, but Blacktop is not one of them. Government sources clarified that Blacktop has always been with the Chinese, who continue their daily intimidating tactics in the South Bank. The Chinese move troops and tanks and try to close in on Indian positions. We ask them not to cross the line. After some time, they go back. They know if they move further, they will have a military cost to pay, said the source. To avoid a Galwan Valley type of clash, the Indian Army has made it clear to the Chinese that their perimeter, which is defined by barbed wires, cannot be breached. If the Chinese troops do cross it, then they will have to be ready for a professional response from the Indian Army, which means the possibility of shots being fired cannot be ruled out. But how did such a large build-up of Chinese troops take place without the Indian Army noticing it? Government sources deny intelligence failure. We knew the PLA had come in with large numbers, but we assumed this was their regular deployment for the campaigning season. What we didn't realize is that they would come in suddenly and occupy areas, the source said. The Chinese have 50,000 troops, 150 fighter planes, surface-to-air ballistic missiles and rocket forces deployed in eastern Ladakh. The Indian Army is looking at nothing short of a complete disengagement where all additional deployment goes back to the barracks. We want talks to succeed. After Galwan and before the August 29 aggression, we were confident that talks would succeed. The sense we got from the defense minister's meet was that the Chinese don't want a war. We have asked for another round of core commander level talks. They have agreed, but we are fully prepared if things don't work out. The build-up on the Indian side has been going on for the last 3 months. The army is almost completing its advanced winter stocking. It is going to be a long, hard and tense winter in eastern Ladakh. And the first batch of 5 Rafale fighter jets will be formally inducted into the Indian Air Force on Thursday at the Ambala Air Base at a time India is engaged in an escalating border row with China in eastern Ladakh. A galaxy of dignitaries, including Defence Minister Rajnath Singh, his French counterpart Florence Parly, Chief of Defence Staff General Bipin Rawat, Air Chief Marshal R.K.S. Bhadauria and Defence Secretary Ajay Kumar will attend the ceremony. At 10 a.m. tomorrow, Rafale aircraft will be formally inducted into the IAF at the Air Force Station in Ambala, the Defence Minister said in a tweet. The aircraft will be part of 17th Squadron, the Golden Arrows. The Rafale jets are India's first major acquisition of fighter planes in more than 2 decades. The program will include ceremonial unveiling of the Rafale aircraft, a traditional Sarvadharma Puja, air display by Rafale and Tejas aircraft, as well as by Sarang aerobatic team, an IAF spokesperson said, describing the ceremony as a very important milestone in the history of the force. The Rafale jets produced by French aerospace major Dassault Aviation are known for air superiority and precision strikes. IAF spokesperson Wing Commander Indranil Nandi said a traditional water cannon salute will be given to the fleet before its ceremonial induction into the 17th Squadron of the Force. The first batch of the five jets arrived in India on July 29, nearly 4 years after India signed an intergovernmental agreement with France to procure 36 of the aircraft at a cost of ₹59,000 crore. The French delegation at the ceremony will include French envoy Emmanuel Lenné, Air General Eric Ottolet, Vice Chief of French Air Force Chairman and Chief Executive of Dassault Aviation Eric Trappier, and CEO of missile maker MBD Eric Berenger. After the ceremony, Parli and Singh will hold talks in Ambala on ways to further deepen bilateral defence and security cooperation after the ceremony, they said. 10 Rafale jets have been delivered to India so far, and 5 of them stayed back in France for imparting training to IAF pilots. The delivery of all 36 aircraft is scheduled to be completed by the end of 2021. A second batch of 4 to 5 Rafale jets are likely to arrive in India by November. Sources said a preliminary discussion on a possible procurement of another batch of 36 Rafale jets by India from France may figure in the talks between Singh and Parli. Kangana Ranaut, who reached Mumbai from Himachal on Wednesday, has released a video statement condemning the demolition of her Bandra office by the Brihanmumbai Municipal Corporation for alleged illegal extensions and modification. Her production house Manikarnika Films functioned from the office. In the video shot in Hindi, Kangana was seen addressing Uddhav Thackeray directly, saying that his ego will be demolished like her house. She also said that she understood what Kashmiri Pandits went through and promised the country she will not only make a film about Ayodhya, but also Kashmir. The actress then said that there is a huge significance that this happened to her and sarcastically said that the BMC has done a huge favour on her. She had also tweeted saying that no illegal construction was done in her office. There is no illegal construction in my house. Also, government has banned any demolition till September 30. Bollywood, watch now. This is what fascism looks like. Meanwhile, Kangana Ranaut had approached the Bombay High Court on Wednesday challenging the notice issued by the Mumbai Civic Body for illegal construction at her bungalow and sought a stay on the demolition process. We filed a petition this morning seeking urgent hearing. We have sought a stay on the demolition process by way of interim relief, Ranaut's advocate Rizwan Siddiqui told PTI. He further said, there is nothing illegal. It is a bungalow and residential property which was not used for commercial purposes. Kangana will assess the damage and it may be in crores. They have damaged furniture and paintings. The High Court later stayed any further demolition. Kangana had previously been locked in a bitter war of words with Shiv Sena and Maharashtra government and had compared Mumbai to Pakistan and Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. Shiv Sena had also organized a protest against the actress last week. On Wednesday, Kangana was provided Y-plus security by the central government for protection. Any change to the Oscars is going to get people talking, so the leaders of the Academy of Motion Picture, Arts and Sciences were not exactly surprised that the new Best Picture inclusion standards became a trending topic on social media as soon as they were announced on Tuesday night. Change doesn't come without some variation of views, said Paramount Pictures CEO Jim Giannopoulos, who co-headed the task force behind the criteria with film producer Devon Franklin. Nothing is absolutely perfect, but this is a very progressive effort to make change. Starting with the 96th Academy Awards in 2024, Best Picture nominees will have to meet specific requirements addressing gender, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity and disability in front of and behind the camera in order to qualify. Films must comply with 2 of 4 broad representation categories, on screen, among the crew, at the studio, and in opportunities for training and advancement. Some said they went too far and accused the new rules of inhibiting art and artists with quotas. Others, like Stacey L. Smith, director of the University of Southern California's Annenberg Inclusion Initiative, said they didn't go far enough. Smith said she could find few Oscar nominees from the past 20 years that didn't already meet the new standards. I want to commend them for trying and for putting together a criteria because we know criteria is a way to counter bias, said Smith. But we are not seeing anything that will push conversation forward. They are not aspirational in any way. The Academy leadership team believes the reforms will inspire change, though. This is about broadening the definition of excellence. This is about inclusion, Franklin said. This is not about exclusion. The Oscars and the films and people that get nominated have been long used as an indication of the lack of diversity in Hollywood. 5 years ago, the Film Academy endeavored to significantly diversify its own membership. It is now embarking on a new 5-year plan, Aperture 2025, to address deeper inequities in the business. The Best Picture adjustment is just one of the efforts. Others include implementing a set 10 Best Picture nominees starting at the 94th Oscars and mandatory unconscious bias training for Academy members. The Best Picture standards were specifically designed to be flexible and give latitude to filmmakers. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.